Okay, we're good to go. Ready to take off. Cockpit is prepared. Yes. So everybody knows that during the 9 days, from Rosh Chodesh Av until Tisha B'Av, you're not supposed to eat meat and you're not supposed to drink wine. It's common knowledge. It's a halacha in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says clear, it's a mini kol Yisrael. Well, it's not exactly so. The Sephardic Jews have a different custom. They don't eat meat and drink wine from the week of Tisha B'Av. Everybody knows that, right? It's like basic. If you're familiar with Jewish observance, you're familiar with this. Okay. So I decided I'm going to go, back and try to figure out the origins of this. Let's see what the Talmud says, and let's try to see where this all came from. So let me direct your attention to Mesechet Tanit, page 26b, a very long Mishnah. One of the longest Mishnayot we have in the whole Shas. Very long Mishnah. So it goes for a page and a half. It starts in the beginning of page 26. It heralds the fourth chapter of Mesechet Tanit. And it talks about many different things that happen at different points on the Jewish calendar. Daf Chavav Amud Beis, page 26b. Here, the Mishnah begins to address the fast days, talks about the 17th of Tammuz and the different things that had occurred and why this day is a day of mourning, sadness, remembrance, and repentance. And then the Mishnah states the following. Mishenichnas Av, from when the month of Av arrives, as in Rosh Chodesh Av, mematim besimcha, we minimize our joy. Okay. Shabbat Shachol Tisha B'Av, the Shabbat of Tisha B'Av, Rashi tells us Shabbat Shachol Bo means Shavua, the week, because as you're soon going to see, the halachot that we're going to talk about could not apply to Shabbat. So from the Shabbat, which means the week, because sometimes the word Shabbat means week, Asur Milasaper or Milachabes, then it's not permitted for a person to cut one's hair and to launder. Okay. The Mishnah goes on to say, but if it's on Thursday, before Shabbat, that's permitted in honor of Shabbat. So far we have two halachot in this Mishnah. Comes Rosh Chodesh Av, first date mentioned in the Mishnah, what do? Mematin besimcha, we minimize joy. Second halacha, Shavua Shechalbo Tisha B'Av, the week in which Tisha B'Av falls, a new halacha, a halacha about not cutting your hair, a halacha about not washing, an exemption for Shabbat. Third halacha, Erev Tisha B'Av, the day prior to Tisha B'Av, lo yochal adam shnei tafshilin. You don't eat two cooked items. Mishnah doesn't talk about when or what, doesn't explain. V'lo yochal basar v'lo yishta yayin. You shouldn't eat meat and you shouldn't drink wine. Okay, so we have three dates in this Mishnah. Date number one, Rosh Chodesh. What does the Mishnah tell us to do in Rosh Chodesh Av? Obviously, this is rabbinic. Obviously, this is after the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. This cannot be biblical, self-understood. This is the way we observe, the way we commemorate, the way we mourn for our Beit HaMikdash. So, from Rosh Chodesh Av, what do we start to do? Mematim besimcha. That's a straight halacha. Incidentally, that halacha shows up verbatim in the Shulchan Aruch. Mishenichnas Av mematim besimcha. Okay. That's date one. What's the next date?
The week.
So maybe it's a day in, maybe it's 3 days in, 4 days in, 5 days in, the week of Tisha B'Av, the next increment of time, what should we do? We have limitations on laundry, limitations on haircuts. Third halacha, Erev Tisha B'Av. This is the day prior, usually on the eighth day of Tisha B'Av, eighth day of Av. The Mishnah tells us, don't eat meat and don't drink wine. Straight Mishnah. It's not like the Mishnah missed the other days. The Mishnah tells us clearly, Rosh Chodesh Av, mematim besimcha. Doesn't say stop drinking meat, stop drinking wine and eating meat. Doesn't say that. It mentions the day. It doesn't tell you that. Shavua Shechalbo. This is what the Sephardic Jews do. The week of Tisha B'Av. Doesn't say anything about meat or wine. It says that from that week we shouldn't wash, we shouldn't take haircuts. We stopped doing that weeks ago already, but okay, fine. And then the Mishnah comes along and says, Erev Tisha B'Av. And for the first time, we have a mention of the consumption of meat and wine. Very strange. All right, let's jump forward in the Gemara from page 26b. We go now to page 29. Probably the Gemara is going to elaborate, tell us more about, because the Mishnah is written in cryptic form. The Gemara is going to elaborate and develop the full halach of the Mishnah, right? Sure, okay. Very bottom of the page, 29, side A. The Gemara, Maseches Tainus, says like this. Mishenichnas av mematem besimcha chulu. From when av comes, we minimize our simcha. So, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, b'nei d'Rav Shmuel bar Shilas, mishmei d'Rav. Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rav Shmuel, the son of Shilas, taught in the name of Rav, the great sage of Bavel. He said, Mishnichnas av mematem besimcha. In the same way that when av comes, we minimize with joy. Kach mishnichnas adar marvim besimcha. When adar comes, we increase in our joy. You turn the page, the Gemara says, telling us details about what happens if you have a dispute with a non-Jew. When is the best time to have that out in court? He says, well, and this time after Rosh Chodesh Av, it's not very mazeldik, not a good time. Change your court date. This is not a good time for Jewish people to tangle with the outside world. Delay any kind of encounter. That's all. Doesn't say anything about wine. Doesn't say anything about meat. Tells us an obscure halacha about scheduling a court date. Shabbos Shechal Bei Tishav, a couple of lines in on page 29b, the Mishnah now says that the Shabbat of Tishav were not permitted asur l'saper l'chabbos. What does this mean? A whole long commentary in the Gemara that goes on for almost a full page until page 30b. Not once. Not once is there a mention of meat or wine. Page 30a on the very bottom. Ah. Lo yochel basar v'lo yishta yayin. Don't eat meat. Don't drink wine. So the Gemara comes along and says, Tana, we learned of aloichel basar maliach. You can eat pastrami. You can eat meat which is salted. Sheisa yayin megita. You can drink freshly pressed grapes. There's no, it hasn't in any way fermented. And the Gemara has a discussion. How long does this go? Basar maliach ad kama. And the Gemara talks about the wine. What does that mean? Ad kama. The Gemara says, well, with freshly pressed grapes, you have 3 days until the bubbling or boiling stops. And when it comes to maliach, so it says after the first few days, it's no longer fresh meat anymore. Rashi explains ad kama. The question is, have a basar gomer. For how long is it actually considered real meat? And at some point it becomes cold cuts. That's not real meat. Salami is not meat. So he says, as long as it didn't, so to speak, get cured 2.5 days in and a full night in, that's still considered meat. But after that, synthetic stuff, it's like, it's not real meat anymore. It's just baloney. How do we know this? How do we know? Because the basar zevach shlomim, when you bring a korban, how long did you have to eat the meat? 2 days and a night. So there you go. That's it, 2 days and a night. So once you pass 2 days, and that's not meat anymore. It's not meat anymore. And as nef simcha, it's already nifsol, it's already disqualified. And the wine that's freshly pressed is matok, it's sweet, it's not tov, it doesn't have any, it's no character to it, it's just grape juice. It's just bubbling grape juice. So that's no good. It's tosis, Rashi says, roseach, it's hot, it's bubbling. So that you can eat. All right, so I don't know about you, but learn this Gemara, I'm saying, I don't understand this. My whole life I'm being told, Shkodeshav, no more meat, no more wine. Everybody knows it. Jews don't do that. I open the Mishnah. I get a mention of Rosh Chodesh Av, nothing about meat or wine. It's not like the date's not mentioned. The date is mentioned. The same Mishnah talks about meat and wine. I get Shabbat Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av. The Mishnah gives halachas, nothing about meat and wine. Finally, on Erev Tisha B'Av, the Mishnah says, don't eat meat and wine. And the Gemara says, well, yeah, but you can have salami. You know, who eats salami on the 9 days? Forget Erev Tisha B'Av. They'll look at you like you're some kind of heathen. Hot dogs! That doesn't even excuse for meat, right? It's some kind of synthetic rubber where they put who knows, kind of put together, they soup it up and wrap. You can't serve hot dogs 9 days, no hot dogs. Well, if it's vegan dogs, okay, fine. That fake stuff that everybody's talking about today. What's going on here? Where does this all come from? To make matters worse, in case you think that people didn't consider expanding this prohibition of meat and wine, think again. There's a fascinating Gemara which is found in Masechet Bava Batra, the last of the Bavot. In the end of the third chapter, which is known as Cheskes Habatim, the Gemara speaks about a lot of very interesting things. And amongst them, the Jewish people's mourning for the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says like this, Tana Rabbanan, our rabbis learn, page 60, Daf Samach, Amud Beis, just where the lines get wide. Kishachorev be'amigda habayis hash b'shnia, and the temple was destroyed the second time. Rabu Prushan b'Yisrael. There were many Pharisees amongst the Jewish people. That's the translation of Purushim, Pharisees. Some kind of Christian terminology, Latin. Purushim comes from the Hebrew, people who separated themselves from everyday life. And most observant Jews were called Purushim. So there was a lot of very observant Jews. I suppose Purushim of old were our Charedim of new. Charedi does not mean horrible person. Charedi means a person who actually trembles before Hashem. He's in awe of God. He lives reverentially, or so he should. That's what Charedi is supposed to mean. So there was many Purushim. And you know what happened with these Purushim? Shalelech al basa, or shalelech tasyayin. People, they went vegan. Not really vegan. But I don't have a socially acceptable term for no meat and no wine, so I'm calling it vegan. They went meatless and wineless. That's it. They became aesthetics. Nitful Alan Rabbi Yeshua, the great sage Rabbi Yeshua, meets up with his people. And he says to them with great compassion, Bonai, my children, what's up with this aestheticism? This is not the Jewish way. Why are you not eating meat? Do you know the only time the Torah actually uses the word kosher is with regard to meat? Like that is the real halachas of kashrus. Hashem gave us meat to eat since the time of Noah. Like, Shechita was a major event for the Jewish people. Majorly impacts the day of getting the Torah and so many other things. You're not drinking wine? Wine is like such an important beverage in Judaism. Amru Loi, they said to Rabbi Yeshua, Neichel basar shemimenu makrivin agami habizbeach. We should eat meat. Meat from which an offering was brought in the Beis HaMikdash, and now the Beis HaMikdash is in ruins. No offerings are brought. We should eat meat? You gotta be kidding. Achshav batal, nishte yayin, they said we should drink wine, sheminaschen agabe hazbech, which was poured on the zbech for achshav batal. How could we drink wine? There's no wine in the Beis HaMikdash. That's not appropriate. Amar lahen, Rabbi Yeshua says to these people, my dear brothers, he says, imkein, maybe lechem le'nechel, maybe you should stop eating bread, because batlu menachas. There used to be meal offerings. Mm-hmm. Are you going to stop eating bread? So they said, no, maybe we should. Efshe bepedes, we'll eat fruit. He said, pedes le'nechel. Now you're going to stop eating fruit? Shekvar batlu bikurim, because firstling fruit are no longer brought. And then he says, no meat, no wine, no bread, no fruit. Mayim le'nishta, what are you going to stop drinking water because there was something called nisach ha-mayim, they poured water once a year. What are you going to do? Shasku. They were quiet. The man made a good point. Amar lahem, he said to them, Bonai, bo v'omer lachem, shlil l'sabo kol iker. He said, to tell you not to mourn at all, efshar, I can't. Shekvar gozer gzeira. It's already, the decree is made. We are in mourning. But he says at the same time, lihis abel yoter midai efshar. You cannot go through life mournfully. And yet us to serve Hashem with joy. It's terrible we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. But we cannot become a faith system of morose misery. Can't do that. We cannot have a decree which the people will not be able to suffer. You can't expect Yidden to be in mourning and serve Hashem with joy. Who could do that? Can't work. Great tzaddikim could do that, maybe. So the Gemara talks about, the Gemara starts saying, you know, when it comes to building homes, we still build homes. Build a home. God doesn't have a home. You have a home. What kind of person are you? You live in a beautiful home and Hashem doesn't have a home. So the minig is we take an amma al amma, a cubit by a cubit, and we leave it unfinished. Zeichel l'chorban. A Jew leaves a little part of his home unfinished. And the Gemara talks about a woman wearing all of her jewelry, never all of her jewelry. Always leaves at least one piece of jewelry off. We talk about the ashes on the head of the chosan where the tefillin are placed, under the chuppah, which is really the forerunner of the modern day custom of smashing the glass under the chuppah. The whole pasuk that speaks about our ability, we ask God that we should lose our ability to make music and to be joyous if we forget Yerushalayim at every time and don't place it in the front, right, and center in our moments of joy. And so, the Gemara says, Tanya Rabbi Yishmael, the Gemara says at the end of the page, Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha says, Miyem Shecharev Beis HaMikdash Dinu Shenigzra Latzmeinu, from the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, indeed it would have been appropriate, Shalilech HaBasav Lelish Tesyayin. We should never have eaten meat and never drank wine again. But it's not going to work. En Goyzen Alak Tzibur Elim Kem Rei Vatzivichin Lavad Be. Judaism is not based on an elite clerisy of the few. If the people of Israel would not be able to sustain an injunction, the rabbis would never make such an injunction. Couldn't be. And especially that we live in a world with so much anti-Semitism, so much hatred, so much persecution. The evil, wicked government of the Roman Empire, which leveled so many decrees and hurled so much pain and suffering at us, and they're stopping us in every way, shape, or form from developing and studying Torah. So, what are you going to do? You're going to have people that simply cease functioning. So what are you going to have, a gezeira that people should stop getting married? People should stop living? And what will happen to the seed of Abraham? It can't be such a thing. This is how people after the Holocaust said they don't want to get married. How could you bring children into such a world? One such person was a famous writer named Elie Wiesel. And he had a private audience, multiple private audiences with the Rebbe. And on one occasion, the Rebbe spoke to him about getting married and said, I can't get married. Can't bring children into the world. The Rebbe spoke to him in a very, very personal way about bringing children into the world. And he did get married. And he does have children. And he got married in Yerushalayim, in the King David Hotel. And on the day of his chuppah, a dozen long-stem roses arrived from the Rebbe, for Elie Wiesel and his wife, with a note that said, Mazel Tov. So the point is that we've been here before. We've stood at the brink of destruction, and we've emerged from the ashes, and you can't stop living. So we have a Gemara that says we should have stopped eating meat and wine, but we don't stop eating meat and wine. We don't. So when do we stop? Gemara is very clear. Erev Tisha B'Av. So what happened here? Here was this supposition we should stop eating meat and drinking wine altogether. The Gemara has come back to say that that just won't work. The Gemara gives us a clear Mishnah, a clear halacha that says that we don't eat meat and drink wine on Erev Tisha B'Av. What happened? How come that's not what we do? Now here's something really interesting. When you look in the Shulchan Aruch, and I'll share with you first the words of the Tur, which as you know is the forerunner of the Shulchan Aruch, the Torah in the beginning of Simen Tov Kuf Nun Beis, which is chapter 552 of Eir HaChaim, it begins with the following words, and I quote, Erev Tisha B'Av, on the day prior to Tisha B'Av, Lo Yoichal Basar. You don't eat meat. Lo Yishtei Yayin. You don't drink wine. V'lo Yoichal Beis Tavshilin. So the Mishnah, which we read in Masechet Tanit, is actually being quoted by the Torah. Straight up. And then the Torah is a discussion. But yes, basa maliach, no basa maliach, can you have salami or bologna or hot dogs? It's a whole discussion. But the plain halacha is Erev Tisha B'Av. It's a halacha, straight up. And this halacha is not only in the Torah, it filters down into the Shulchan Aruch, and in the Shulchan Aruch it actually comes across in a much more strident way, in a much more focused way. And you'll hear in a moment what I mean. Erev Tisha B'Av, lo yoichal adam, the Shulchan Aruch adds two words, b'se'uda ha-mafsekes, in the Last Supper that we eat before Tisha B'Av. In the se'uda ha-mafsekes, you don't eat. Sha'oich la'acha chatzais, which is eaten in the afternoon of Erev Tisha B'Av. You don't eat basar v'lo yishti yayin. So when you look in the tour, it says Erev Tisha B'Av. It sounds like a whole day Tisha B'Av. We look in the Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't say Erev Tisha B'Av. It says Erev Tisha B'Av le'yechal adam b'se'uda ha-mafsekes. So the Shulchan Aruch is going further and interpreting the words of the Mishnah as they are quoted by the Torah, but interpreting it saying the Erev Tisha B'Av doesn't mean the day before Tisha B'Av, it means the meal before Tisha B'Av. And the final meal before Tisha B'Av, that's when you don't eat meat or wine. It's open halacha Shulchan Aruch. So what are we doing for 9 days? Unfortunately, we did not merit to have the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch on this part of Shulchan Aruch. The manuscripts were lost in a terrible fire. So I cannot tell you what the Alter Rebbe would have written, but I can tell you that the Mishnah Brura, when he comments on this business of Lo Yoichal, he says a very interesting thing. His first comment is, Lo Yoichal, the halacha about not eating meat is Kedei Laharbot Evel. It's so that we will increase our mourning. We'll increase our mourning. V'lizker churban habayit. And we will remember the destruction of our home, God's home. V'yitztayir alav. And we'll feel pain. We'll feel an aching and acute loss. So, what's the obvious question? Isn't there like a halacha that says we don't eat meat and drink wine from Tisha B'Av? There actually is. I'm going to show it to you soon. It's in the chapter before. But, well, if there's a halacha that says only a little while earlier, just 2 pages earlier in the Shulchan Aruch, I'll read it to you quickly, in Simen Tes, in the ninth subsection of chapter 551, it says, Yesh noigim shalei lechel basar v'lei lishtis yayin b'shabazu v'yesh misif v'merish chedesh. Some people don't eat the week of, some people don't eat from Rosh Chodesh. So the Shulchan Aruch is contradicting itself. Here it says people don't eat meat the week of. Here it says people don't eat meat from Rosh Chodesh. And then what does it say over here? L'yechal adam b'sudam avsekes? Aren't we already proscribed from doing this 9 days ago? Or a week ago? So the Mishnah Berurah says something very interesting. He says, Hainu midina d'shas. This is from the rule of the actual Mishnah. V'ilu mitzad minhoga, but out of a custom, also Rosh Chodesh. Out of a custom, it was proscribed from Rosh Chodesh. So what do we hear now? We hear that there's a halacha, there's a custom. The halacha is you don't eat meat and drink wine Erev Tisha B'Av, specifically at the Suda HaMafsekes. The minhag, the custom is we don't eat meat or drink wine from the week or maybe even Rosh Chodesh. Here is the big question. We have a rule when it comes to anything related to mourning. We always follow the most lenient opinion. There's enough reasons to be depressed and sad. We need to find reasons to be happy and joyous. If people are left to their own devices, they'll be miserable. How do I know? Because they are. Most people are miserable. If it wasn't so, it wouldn't be a mitzvah to work on serving Hashem with joy. Reb Nachum Breslov never could have gotten away with the words, mitzvah gedoyla li is besimcha, it's a great mitzvah to be joyous if everybody was joyous naturally. Why would he say something so ridiculous? Because it's not ridiculous. Because most people are not happy. And even though the Alter Rebbe never says words like that, mitzvah gedoyla, it's a euphemistic thing. The Alter Rebbe just says that if you will not be in a state of simcha, you will not succeed in avodat Hashem. Impossible. He metaphorizes you have two wrestlers, two people locked in combat. If one is motivated, has joy, and the other doesn't want to be there, what will happen? The one who is joyous will be nimble and quick, and he will win. In the Rebbe's 12 psukim, each pasuk is another step in the direction of development of Judaism. It's an exquisite roadmap for life. The 12th pasuk is Yismach Yisrael be'esof. Rejoice. Rejoice with the work that Hashem gave you. Because Hashem is rejoicing with you. So the 12th psukim, you know what the reason for the 12th pasuk is? It doesn't have a specific message. The rejoinder at the end of 11 psukim, 11 steps, 11 rules for life is, if you don't do this with joy, you're never going to succeed. It's not just good enough to say, okay, I'll do it. I have to do it with joy. But if everybody was joy naturally, joyous, would we have to say that? But we're not joyous naturally, and it takes effort. So we have a rule. We always go more lenient way when it comes to mourning. What happened there? Now we had a question whether or not we should do this heavy-duty mourning. Rabbi Yeshua shut the people down, said, you're wrong, you can't do this. It's not. It's impossible. It's not what Hashem wants. The tzibur, the most people cannot suffer this. There's a beautiful diary that was written by the famous chassid and the luminary, Rabbi Elkan. Rabbi Elkan is the Rebbe's chazi. He was the chief responsible, the chief scribe responsible for recording the Rebbe's teachings orally. The Rebbe would speak orally Shabbos, and he would memorize hours and hours and hours after it. He was in charge of all transcription. A phenomenal mind like you have no idea. Literally an Einstein. A genius of geniuses. So the Biel comes to 770 in the Shiva, in the days of the Shiva of the Friedrich Rebbe. He didn't know the Friedrich Rebbe was nostalgic. He doesn't know what to do. I think he was 21 or 22. This brilliant boy from Israel, from Tel Aviv, Russian boy. Father was beaten and incarcerated and finally let out. And they came out and they escaped from the Soviet Union, came to Israel. And they took this brilliant boy and they sent him to New York to learn by the Rebbe. And the Rebbe's not here. He doesn't know what to do. Right? So he has a whole this whole story, how he becomes a chassid of the Rebbe, how everybody became chassidim of the Rebbe. And he started to send letters home to his father describing the situation. And you see, like, in each letter he writes, he becomes more enamored with the Rebbe, more connected to the Rebbe, and calls him Haramash, Kveit Kedushas Haramash, and then until he addresses him as the Rebbe. So there's a line there. He says, Unser Naya Rebbe, he says, our new Rebbe, is a zubrochene freilicha yid, a broken-hearted, joyous Jew. What does that mean? The Rebbe was so broken at the loss of his Rebbe, and he served the same with joy every single second. Regular person can't do that. The greatest tzaddikim could be brokenhearted and joyous at the same time. They have a heart so wide that can suffer it all. The rest of us can't do it. What do you think it means in the Gemara, Ein Hatzibi Yuchel Lamed Bay? The people couldn't stand. There will be some people who could, but a lot of people couldn't. I really think it means nobody could do this. It would have been the destruction of Judaism. All the misery and sadness, it would have destroyed us. The children would say, who needs this? I have to be brought up miserable? Why do I have to be unhappy for? Everybody is unhappy, but they don't really want to be unhappy. They really want to be joyous and happy. And Yiddishkeit emphasizes joy. So we ruled out this business. Rabbi Yeshua said, no, we can't have that kind of misery. You cannot mourn all year. It has to be simcha, and you have to be freilach, and you have to focus on it. If it was Hashem b'simcha, and Alter Rebbe says, Tanya, you got issues, you got problems, save it for Thursday, late Thursday night when you're saying Krishma Shalomita. Then once a week, say your Krishma, cry your eyes out, beg Hashem forgiveness, and go back to being happy. You can't do that all the time. So what happened here? Here we have a clear halacha, midin d'shas, that it's Erev Tisha B'Av, Sudim of Sekes. And we get a halacha, we should start doing this Erev Rosh Chodesh. It does not seem to make any sense. Anyway, this is like my big question. I don't understand this. So let's take a look at what it says. Let's take a look. So we go back to Simon Tovkuf Nun Aleph, which is chapter 551. And we go to subsection 9, and it says, and I quote, Yesh noigim shloi lechol basor v'shloi lishtis yayin b'shabazu. The Machaber, Rabbi Yosef Karo, says, there are those who have a custom of not eating meat and not drinking wine in this week. In this week. The yesh, and there are those, shem moisifin, who add, merosh chodesh adatainis, from the first day of Av until the ninth day of Av. V'yesh, and there are those who add, Mishiva Asar B'Tamos, from the 17th day of Tammuz.
All 3 weeks.
And you're all familiar with this notion that Sephardic Jews follow B'Shabbat Zu, Ashkenazic Jews follow from Rosh Chodesh. Very few people don't eat meat for 3 weeks. The Arizal didn't eat meat for 3 weeks. Some of his disciples didn't do it. Very rare. Very few people do that. Where did this custom come from? And because it's just a custom, so the Rama says if there's a tzorech mitzvah, if there's a need for a mitzvah would override it. What's a mitzvah? You have a brit milah. It's a mitzvah to serve meat. It's a mitzvah to have a meal. You can serve meat. What if it's somebody who's not well? Okay, then he can have meat. What if it's a pinyon aben, redemption of, you have meat. And then there's even an opinion that says if you finish off, conclude a volume, a book, a celebration of Torah, you can have meat. Now, halachas cannot be deflected that way. If it was a din, it would be a din. If you make a bris on right before Tisha B'Av, you can't serve meat. But if you do it in the 9 days, you could. Or even in the week of. Why? Because one is a din, and one is a minhag. One is a custom. And the custom can be overridden. One is a law. And rules are rules. Laws are written in stone. So, what happened here? How did we end up like this? So this, my dear friends, I think is the answer. And what I'm going to do is, I'm going to show you, share with you what the Maharil wrote. Maharil is the forerunner of Ashkenazic halacha, Rabbi Yaakov Molin. We quoted him many times already. I'm going to share with you what the Tur, Rabbeinu Yankev Balaturim, the son of the Rosh, who writes the forerunner of the Shulchan Aruch, living in Spain as an authority on halacha in the Sephardic land, even though he's a grandson of the greatest rabbi in Ashkenaz, but they ran away. He's living in Spain. And I'm going to share with you what the Mordechai Yaffe, the Levush, 17th century sage, who wrote an early iteration of his own Shulchan Aruch, his own codes, which ultimately did not become the Shulchan Aruch, but still a very important work, along with its commentaries that follow the Shulchan Aruch, also following the same system of the Tur. So first, I'm going to share with you the words of the Maharil. And these are so illuminating. Maharil says in the Laws of Tisha B'Av, quote, "Mishenichnas Av, mimatim besimcha." When Av comes, you minimize in your joy. That's a halacha. We learned that in a Mishnah. That's straight. Says the Maharil, "Lefichach." Because when Av comes, we're supposed to minimize in joy. Yesh, there are those, shein ochlen basar, vein shoysin yayin. There are those who don't eat meat and don't drink wine. Min echad Av ad yud ba'av. From the first day of Av until the 10th day of Av. The day after Tisha B'Av. Where'd that come from? Listen carefully to these words. He starts off his halacha. Mishenichnas Av mimatim besimcha. When Av comes, we minimize and joy. Lefichach. It's a powerful word here, an important word. Lefichach. Lefichach means therefore. When Av comes, we minimize and joy. Lefichach. Therefore. Therefore, we don't need meat or drink wine. What does this mean? He says, oh, kedamrinim b'Yerushalmi. Like it says in the Yerushalmi. What does it say in the Yerushalmi? Amr Reb Zeira, the Nehigin, the Lelishtes Yayin, Min Echad Av, Al Minig HaTorah Shenifsika Evin Shasiya. Reb Zeira said we don't drink wine because the foundation stone was taken away in the Beis HaMikdash. I don't know. So I looked in the Yerushalmi, and I found a different Yerushalmi. It doesn't say this exactly in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that there was a custom that the woman who used to, do you call it to load a loom? To string a loom? What do you call it when you weave fabric? You know what I'm talking about. You know what a loom is, right? Like this. So there's shesi and erev. There's the vertical threads, and you have to have the horizontal threads. And then, at some point when everything's in place, and you pull it the other way and tighten it, and boom. All comes together and it's a fabric, right? So whatever that's called to string up, load up. Ariga is weaving, but whatever it's called to place it on the loom. Okay, there's a word for it. That slips my mind. Whatever it calls mean to load the loom up. So the loom, it's called lemishisaya. So Reb Zeira says, when he came to the Yerushalayim, Teretz Yisrael, they called him Zeira instead of Zeira. Zeira means small one. It's very humble. So the humble one says, He says that the woman had a tradition that they stopped to load the looms from the beginning of Av. You know why? Because that's when the Evan Shasiya, the stone, the foundation stone, was taken away. And we know that because David HaMelech says in Tehillim, in the 11th Psalm, Ki hashashos yahareisim, they destroyed the foundation stone. So the Korban Eida, he says, what is going on over here? He says, Shalilarech v'lasadir v'larech hachudin, to arrange the loom, to set up the loom. Shehelchen la'orcha shel beged, that which goes in the length of a fabric or garment, whether it's shasi or erev, but that's what it's called. He says, min da'av alil, mirosh chodesh av ve'elech, from rosh chodesh av and onward, minag, it's a custom. Why? Because in the month of Av, the Evan Shasiya, and the Korban Eidah says, Hu Evan Shemimenu Hushtas Ha'ilm, this is the first stone, the first particle of existence. Vahoya, and he says, Munach, it was placed in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Korban Eidah seems to be of the opinion that the stone is not actually a rock, bedrock of the Temple Mount, as many others believe. He believed, based on this Gemara, that it was placed there. And it was destroyed or taken away, removed from its place. This does not go well with the theory that the Dome of the Rock is the Evan HaShasiya. This is taken away. And what's the reason? Because the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and that stone was taken away. So therefore, that's why they didn't set up the loom. Amir Rebbe Chanina says, Kol HaDvarim Minag, these are just customs. What is the Maharil talking about when he says, you don't drink wine? What is he talking about? And then the Gemara brings another story here, a story about wood logs, cedar logs, that were taken by Jacob, that were uprooted by Jacob when they left the land of Israel, which is called the land of Canaan, and went down into Mitzrayim, and those trees were planted in Egypt, and those trees later grew. These were trees that were planted originally by Abraham, tended by Isaac, tended by Jacob, uprooted by Jacob, planted in the land of Egypt, and when Moses leaves with the Jewish people, takes the logs with him. And most of the logs end up becoming the Mishkan, but not all of the logs do. There's some leftover wood. What happens to the leftover wood? So the Gemara, the Yerushalmi, says that they wouldn't use it. They said it was designated for a sacred purpose. So the Gemara queries back, says, well, it's not really so. It wasn't actually designated. It was never actually taken. And the Gemara's response is, we don't want to change the minhag. Our ancestors treated this reverently because of what they thought it would be used for. That's good enough for us. What the Maharil seems to be indicating is the reason that we follow this custom is because it's a custom. These are the minhagim. These are the customs of our rabbis. The kivin shenogu came because they established these things. Al titash teres imecha. Do not forget the Torah of your mother. This is the literal origin of what they call baba maisis. But baba maisis are not baba maisis, old wives' tales. Baba maisis are what holy, righteous Jewish women understood is proper and correct. And they created these customs, Torah customs. And that means, broadly speaking, referring to the oral tradition, Rabbeinu Nechi Nefesh, our sages who have passed on. He says, but like if you look at Maseches Tainus, it's very clear there, Delei Osir Ela Besudam Avsekes. So first of all, I twigged onto this. He said, if you look at Maseches Tainus, Le Osir Ela Besudam Avsekes. He uses the word Suuda Hamavsekes. So it seems that Shulchan Aruch had the same tradition as the Maharil, because he quotes Suuda Hamafsekes, even though in our Mishnah doesn't say Suuda Hamafsekes, and the Torah doesn't say the Last Supper, Suuda Hamafsekes, but nonetheless, okay. Now he says, Yesh Anshe Maisa, there are people of good deeds who will not refrain from eating meat and drinking wine from the 17th day of Tammuz, all the way until the night after Tisha B'Av, because that's when the main Churban was. And he brings proof of this. And he says, the Anu Noegim, our custom is that we don't eat meat and drink wine min Rosh Chodesh ad Matzoi Tisha B'Av. So the Maharil is clear. Now here's the problem. B'kolze Nohag, this is all the Minhagim of Rabbi Yaakov Molin from the tribe of Levi, and this is what everybody in the Rhineland did. But why not? Why do we have this custom? So at the Maharil, at the end, concludes what he began with. The ta'am. But what is the reason? The ta'am in niyas basar v'yayin. The reason that we don't do this is because ein simcha ela b'basar. The word joy shows up in the Torah along with a description of meat. How do we know this? Because it says v'zavachta shlomim. This is a verse that's found in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy it says, in Parshas Kisavah, Deuteronomy 27, verse 7, it says, you will come to the land of Israel. And there in the land of Israel, you will set up an altar on the first day of your arrival in the Holy Land, in your new homeland. And then you will bring offerings. V'achalta sham. Don't just bring offerings. Eat the offerings. You're going to eat the meat. V'samachta lefnei Hashem elokecha. You'll rejoice before the Lord your God. And the Sepharno says, what are you rejoicing about? You're rejoicing because you have come into a covenant with God at Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, which is on the first day we came into the land of Israel. So that's what we're rejoicing. We're not rejoicing because we ate meat. But the fact is, the Pasuk says, v'zavachta shlomim, you'll bring korbanot, v'achalta sham, you'll eat the korbanot, and then you'll rejoice before Hashem. The Torah doesn't describe anything else, doesn't use the word joy for any other activity. You eat meat, you'll be joyous. That's what it says. A good dinner, you're happy. That's what it says. Ubiyayin amasameh lekim v'anoshim, a pasuk in the book of Judges, a famous pasuk, where it says clearly, over there the Navi is threatening that if you don't listen to Hashem, your vineyards will be ravished and you will be bereft of wine, which brings joy to people in God. What does that mean? God doesn't have moods, and what does it mean bring joy? I'm not even getting into it. Doesn't matter. The point is, it uses the word simcha twice, by basar and by yayin. So, but he says, mikom makom, nonetheless, ein chova, this is not actually obligatory. Chova means an obligation, ki im erev Tisha B'Av. Only erev Tisha B'Av, and that itself, mishesh sha'ot, from 6 hours, meaning the next half a day. I wanted to share with you something interesting. It's not quoted here, but just something really fascinating, that when Yitzchak Avinu was getting ready to bless his son Jacob, he didn't know he was going to bless Jacob. He thought he was blessing Esau. So he said to Esau, go and get me some good kosher meat and make me a big dinner, and then I'm going to bless you. So what does this mean? It's like, what does dinner have to do with getting blessed? So Rabbeinu Bechaya says, Yitzchak was not just like a person who indulged in material pleasure. He wanted to be able to develop Shatihio nafsho smecha, that he should feel a sense of joy. And then, when the body will be in a joyous state, this will awaken the powers of the soul, and by virtue of those powers, he'll be able to bless his son and be able to focus and channel the Holy Spirit. It's talking about meat, specifically about meat. So let me tell you what I think the pshat here is. The pshat is like this. It says, Mishenichnas av memata besimcha. When av comes, you have to minimize joy. To minimize joy. What does that mean? Did you notice that the Mishnah never explained the meaning of minimize joy? It didn't tell us what to do. The Gemara comes along and the Gemara says, just like you add in joy in Adar, that's how you're minimizing joy. And what should you do in Adar? Should you dance a jig? Stand on your head? Play musical instruments? Go to a concert 3 times a day? What should you do in Adar? It doesn't tell you what to do. The Mishnah doesn't tell you what to do. The Mishnah doesn't tell you what to do to be mimat and besimcha. So what does it mean? It could mean different things to different people. So what do you do? So what seems to be conveyed to us here in the Ma'aril, since the Mishnah says Mishnichnas of mimat and besimcha, since it was to minimize joy, lefichach, that's why we're not eating meat. Not because it was prohibited, because the korbanot, because remembering the Beis Hamikdash. We're simply minimizing joy. Why is that joy? How could you make that a one-size-fits-all? Maybe these vegetarians don't like meat. Okay, in a chenami, that's true. But so, HaTorah al-pi ha-roiv tadav. HaTorah talks about most people. Most people still like a good steak. They may not like French toast. They'll still like a good steak. How do you know this? Because the Torah says it. It's the only thing in the Torah where we actually have joy spelled out. Sin, mem, ches, hey, simcha. It says it here. After eating meat. It only says it there. Yayin is the only beverage in the entire world that the Torah says brings joy. What did that mean? The good question. Forget about what it means. Mematim besimcha, minimize joy. What does it mean? Minimize joy. Minimize things which bring joy. So what's the easiest way to fulfill mematim besimcha? No eating meat, no drinking wine. Isn't that like no-brainer? Does it make sense? That's a minhag. It's only a custom. It's a custom. Why do we have to keep the custom? Maharil sends us off to the Yerushalmi. He says, people made a custom. Why they weren't setting up the loom because it's called the name of the string is similar to yeah, that's good enough. The name of the string sounds like a stone, that's it. Okay, so we don't do it. The point is that we had customs like that. They weren't using perfectly good lumber. Why? Because the generation before didn't want to use the lumber. So what? We respect their customs. There's something called time-honored customs. There's something called respect for previous generations. If this was the custom they followed, we should follow the custom too. Now we understand why the minhag in Ashkenaz is to stop eating meat from Rosh Chodesh. Why? Because from Rosh Chodesh it says, Mishenichnas av mematim besimcha. And Maharil attaches this notion of not eating meat and drinking wine to Mishenichnas av. Now let's go to the world of Sfarad. Let's go to the Tur. The Tur has a whole discussion here about the business with the meat. He says, what's going on with the meat? He says, really, it says we should be able to eat salami and bologna too. But he says, others say we shouldn't do it. And he quotes a number of Tosafists over here. The Avia Ezri, the Rabbeinu Shevet, very fascinating, all 12th century sages. Different parts of the Tosafists, they're all related, nephews and uncles and grandparents over here. He quotes them all over here. He has a whole discussion with a time when the Torah talks about the prohibition of meat or what could happen if you eat meat, and that's with the rebellious son. The rebellious son, the Ben Sora, or Mora, has to eat meat. It's got to be meat. It can't be chicken. It can't be schnitzel. How about salami? No good. If it's bologna, for sure not. Hot dogs, forget about it. No, it's got to be beef. Actual beef, actual meat. And he says, yeah, lamb, cattle. So he says, I don't understand. What's going on over here? So why do we, if it's not meat for Ben Sora Mora, why are we prohibiting it here also? So he says, I'll tell you why. The Torah says, because it's not about mourning, he says. It's not about mourning. There's more to this than mourning. And he says, what's the proof that it's not just about mourning? Because he says, do you know that Avel Acher, another mourner, an actual mourner, a person who just lost his father or mother, it's a mitzvah l'hashkoyse yayin? You know, it's a mitzvah to give him wine. It's he's allowed to eat meat, but it's a mitzvah to give him wine. Why? He says, Damrinim, because our sages say, l'nivra yayin ela l'nachem b'yavelim. You know why wine was created? Because it brings comfort. A person's in a state, you know, somebody's sick, you need medicine. It doesn't mean you should abuse wine, be an alcoholic. If you can't function without wine, you're in trouble. If you're perfectly fine when you just bury your father and mother, you're sick in the head. Something's wrong with you. If you don't need help then, if you're perfectly fine, something's wrong. And says, wine helps. Have a l'chaim. Yeah, there are times when you need to get through the day. So the wine is dil l'nachem be'avelim. Shemitzvah l'nachmai. It's a mitzvah to bring somebody comfort. What, do you show up at a shiva house and say, let me help you be miserable? Can I help you feel your pain anymore? Can I help you feel worse? No. Why do we go to a shiva house? To minimize, to mitigate, to bereave, to console, to try to take away some of the pain. We say, God should console you amongst all the mourners of Zion. What, are we making fun of the person who just buried his mother yesterday? You're talking about this business of Zion from almost 2,000 years ago? So that everyone explains a very simple message. You're not alone. Every one of us feels the loss of Zion. Your personal loss is our loss too. That's why we talk about Tzion and Yerushalayim, to say a person isn't alone. And guess what? The Gemara says, Tzoras Rabim Chatzi Nechama. When everybody's miserable together, somehow it feels a little better. It's human nature. We come to make somebody feel better. V'hocha Asur Yayin. Here we said, no, don't have wine. So he says, the reason is, Sheyizker Churban Abayis. We want you to remember the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. This is a different kind of mourning. All other mourning has to be minimized. This mourning is supposed to be emphasized. We want Yitzhayir love. And that's why he says not only meat, but also chicken. All of this. Why? Because we're intensifying the mourning. We want to intensify the mourning. And he goes on to explain how all of the different things which were talked about, including not having two different cooked items at that meal, is to intensify the mourning. And the point is this. The Tur is explaining to us that the notion of not eating meat and not drinking wine is not only connected to the korbanot. It's also to intensify the mourning. When does one intensify mourning from? According to the Mishnah, from Shavua Shachalbo, from the week of Tisha B'Av. In other words, what I want to tell you now, maybe it's a little chiddush, I don't know if this is correct, but this is what it seems to me. Maharil's position was that the not eating meat and drinking wine is called minimizing joy. Minimizing joy. Mimatim b'simcha. When does the Mishnah say we should start being mimait, minimizing joy? Rosh Chodesh. According to the Tur, the idea of not eating meat and drinking wine is not only minimizing joy, but actually increasing mourning. When does the Mishnah say we should increase mourning? Shavua Shachalbo. And that's why the Sephardic Jews, because for them, the minig of meat and wine was about increasing mourning. But for the Jews in Ashkenaz, following Rabbi Yaakov Mullin, it was to minimize joy. So they started it from Rosh Chodesh. I don't know if this is correct, but this is my supposition. Now let me share with you what the Levush wrote. This will all bring it home in such a beautiful way. The Levush says like this. He says, from Rosh Chodesh, Nogin, it's customary, shalolecha basar. We don't eat meat. We don't drink wine. And he says, there are some who add even from Shavasar Batamas. Incidentally, why do those some add from Shavasar Batamas? Because that's when the offerings actually stopped getting brought. But nobody does that. Nobody does that. From the offerings not getting brought, we don't do Erev Tisha B'Av. Nobody, Arizal did that. Nobody regularly does that. Vahatam, he says himself, the reason that we stop from Shavasar Batamas, from the 17th of Tammuz, Mipnei Shaboy, on that day, Batal HaTamud. That's when the offering, the last offering was brought, the day before. The first day in history there was no offering was Shavasar Batamas. The first day there was no wine poured on the altar because there was no carbon was Shavasar Batamas. But he says, yes, Yeshayim, others say. Oh, so then he goes like this. He goes through all business of what about something which is cooked with meat or not cooked with meat? What if it has just a taste of meat? And he says, you have to understand, the whole reason that we don't eat meat or wine is not mishum iser. It's not because there's something intrinsically wrong with meat and wine. It's because kedei litzuri nafshika mechaven. We're coming here to increase the pain. It's not just because, oh, we're in mourning you can't eat meat or drink wine. That's not true. Because another mourner, like the Tur, says the Levush, does drink wine. It's a custom to say l'chaim in a mourner's home. There's halachas about drinking special cups of wine with a special berachat hamazon, which not everybody does in today's day and age. But the Talmud talks about it, and many still do it. They drink multiple cups of wine at a house of mourning. K'day l'shakeach tzarei, to forget the joy, l'nachme. Aval kan mitzvah shaloi lehisnachem. We don't want to find comfort. With every other loss, it's a mitzvah to seek comfort. It's a mitzvah to give comfort and bereavement. Here, it's a mitzvah not to find comfort. Elolahar beis evil. A mitzvah, on the contrary, to increase in evil. And why is that? Sheyizka, we should remember v'yitztayir al churban Yerushalayim. We should remember the destruction of Yerushalayim. And therefore, he says, if it has a little meat mixed into it, if that is going to not to take away some of our joy, if that's going to kind of, then we shouldn't do it. And he says, therefore, even bologna and salami, he says, there's ktsas simcha, a little joy. This pikuach tzaira, you're adding a little pain by not eating that, then don't eat it either. Understand? So there's two separate things going on here. There's a halacha, and then there is what our ancestors decided to do, either to minimize joy or to increase the pain, increase the mourning. And we're really out of time. But the Niti Gavriel, I saw, it's a modern scholar who put together a beautiful compendium of halacha. So he has these very, very fascinating entrances. In his Pesach HaShar, we're out of time now. I'm going to share this with you. He goes through the concept of mourning. He explains the notion of mourning, al pi Torah, based on many quotes, copious Rishonim. And then he juxtaposes that with the mourning for the Beis HaMikdash. And he demonstrates in vivid color how they're polar opposites. They're not the same. This is a mourning that we try to minimize. This is a mourning that it's a mitzvah to mourn, but more importantly, to do tshuva and return to Hashem, because the loss is there. Everybody feels the loss. But the problem with the Beis HaMikdash is we don't feel the loss. And that's why the mourning of the 3 weeks, and especially the 9 days, and even more so the week of Tisha B'Av, and Tisha B'Av is to feel the loss, to increase the mourning. These are two, they sound similar. People draw a line between the two, but they're actually polar opposites. They're on opposite ends of the spectrum. And he demonstrates this in beautiful, very, very, with many sources, demonstrates this in the thesis in the most beautiful way. So anyway, bottom line is, I think now we have a clear understanding as to why the meat and wine are prohibited customarily speaking. And because it's only customary, we have leniencies. Famous question. Are you allowed to have a meat restaurant open in a city like Toronto during the 9 days? The answer is yes. Why? Because unfortunately, there are members of our community who, if they will not get a kosher meat restaurant, will go to a non-kosher meat restaurant. And you know what? Some people aren't well and they need to eat the meat, and some people just had a baby, and some people are undergoing treatments. And since there is a possibility for anybody like that to have permission, it's okay. But no kosher restaurants are open on Tisha B'Av. Why not? Don't you know that there are people, if there won't be a kosher restaurant, they'll go to McDonald's and eat on Tisha B'Av? Sorry, we can't help that. Because that's a din. A meat restaurant can't be open Erev Tisha B'Av. A meat restaurant can be open during the 9 days. Customs can be superseded, although they should be kept. A din is a rule, and the rule can't be moved. And now we understand the logic behind this custom, and we also have a beautiful way of understanding the difference between the Sephardic custom or Ashkenazi custom of from Rosh Chodesh, where it's mimatim b'simcha, minimizing joy, or Shavua Shachalbo, where it's increasing the mourning and the sadness. Hashem should help us that because we're talking about mourning, we shouldn't have to mourn. It should be good enough already. And by the time we get to Rosh Chodesh of Mashiach, should long have been here already. The month means Menachem. So Menachem Av is a comfort. And we also know that Kol HaMis'abel Altsi, and anybody who mourns for Zion, Zeicha V'Reya B'Nechmasa, will have the privilege of being able to see the comfort, which will not come because we decide to comfort ourselves, but because Hashem will comfort us, Emetz Hashem, with the third Beis HaMikdash, with the return of the real Simcha, the real meat and wine, the offerings, the Beis HaMikdash, and true happiness for all of Am Yisrael, and in fact, ultimately, for the whole world, Memheira will be Ameinu. Amen.
Amen.
So, what can a vegetarian do to...